right in your head.
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
We'll turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. All of my guests are going to be discussing fascinating topics, and none of them are connected to one another. My first guests have their own media program presenting positive parenting idea to their audience. They're discussing positive parenting during the holidays. My second guest is an extraordinarily talented cartoonist, greeting card designer, songwriter, and performer. We're going to be examining her latest book, Amazing Cows. My third guest is the winner of the DMC Transmission Grand Prize giveaway, free oil change and lube for a year. We're going to bring him on to talk about how he won the prize and his business. And my fourth guest is a restaurateur who opened up a new restaurant in Thousand Oaks called Vitello's Trattoria. We're going to find out what it takes to open a restaurant in today's economy. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Freeman Michaels is the former soap opera star, successful motivational coach, and workshop leader. Recently, he became a media mogul by launching Changing Times Media, an internet channel that features four programs, The Freeman Michaels Show, Perchance to Dream, Everyday Intelligence, and Cutting Edge Consciousness. Lisa Davis is the host of It's Your Health radio and TV programs in Boston. Lisa has a master's in public health and is both a certified nutritional consultant and a certified children's yoga instructor. She's worked as a health educator, lifestyle coach, nutritional counselor, teacher, weight management instructor, exercise physiologist, and personal trainer for the last 20 years. Welcome, Freeman. Welcome, Lisa, to the Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Good. I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, it's a pleasure to have both of you here because it is a trying time. We're coming up on one of the most stressful times in any family's history, and that is the holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas. They're fast approaching, and there are lots of pressures that come to bear on a family during these times. You've got the family, you've got coworkers, you've got everything going on that really does impact. And left unchecked, greed, gluttony, those play a part in it too.
They do.
So what advice do you have for parents going into the holiday season to help them prepare for Thanksgiving and Christmas?
Well, I'll jump in first. You know, this is, it's such a great topic. In fact, just one little quick note, Positive Parenting is one of the Changing Times shows. So is the wellness show I do with Lisa. So we have actually six shows. But it's important only because it's a resource where people can go to. That's what I'm trying to create with the media work that I'm doing. But I want to talk about this because when we talk about the holidays, and as you know, Billy, food is a big part of what I work with adults. But a lot of this starts in childhood. And what happens is a lot of the energy, this charged atmosphere, is channeled and directed towards food. And the food is what is representative to children, adults as well. But this is the child's positive parenting looks at how children are being raised. And it attaches or associates the food with the celebration, right?
Right.
And what I want people to really consider during this holiday season is finding things that are special to do with kids that either don't involve food. I mean, they can. I mean, I think something like building a gingerbread house is an activity. Yes, it involves food, but it's got a spirit behind it that I can really personally get behind. But that there are things that are done ritualistically in households that involve specialness that aren't about food. And I'll even say this about things like like it gets crazy with all the toys and the kids want all these things, that we really find other ways to express our love other than overfeeding our kids and spoiling them.
Ah, well said. Lisa, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, you know, I think that's such a good point, Freeman. I mean, something we always did in my family was to make gifts and make cards. And maybe, you know, Freeman, I know that at your house you have a craft table, and that's something really special to your kids.
Huge.
So I think if your kids have a certain interest, if there's something that they like to do with their hands or something creative, maybe spending time with them and real quality time where you're not on your BlackBerry, you're not distracted, you're not watching TV, you're not on the phone, you know, and you're actually with them doing something that they really enjoy, or if it's a sport or if it's whatever activity it is, I think that's what the holidays need to be about too, right?
Yeah, well said, well said. Well, you kind of lead me into my next question very nicely, as a matter of fact. You're really talking about family traditions. And so what role do family traditions play at this time of the year, and how can parents begin to build these traditions for their families?
Yeah, I'll jump in first. The piece for me, again, is what is the quality underneath whatever the tradition or the ritual is? And so often we get distracted with what we do that we're not paying attention to why we do it. So really, I'm going to say something kind of flippant. I don't care what the ritual is. And by that, I'm not saying I don't care. I'm just saying it doesn't matter necessarily. What we want to recognize is there's a quality, that there's a consistency, and there's something underneath it that we have to offer to kids. So whatever ritual, whatever tradition they come from, I offer that parents consider the what's meant to be, what the experience is meant to represent.
All right. Now, that's well said, but I want to challenge that just a little bit, Freeman, because in looking at traditions, every family has them, part of their religious culture, whatever they believe in, and younger children in particular need to fit into that tradition. They need that sense of community as well. So I agree with what you say. It's got to be the quality beneath the traditions. That's true. But I think the traditions themselves are important to help the child feel acclimated, to help the child feel part of a larger group, a larger community. What do you say to that?
I trip on it often. So, for example, my son is at the point where he may or may not be believing in Santa Claus anymore. We're not sure. He's 7 years old, and he reported recently that Santa Claus is fake and he has a fake beard. But we've actually come to the idea that there might be a real Santa Claus out there. So I think we're going to squeeze another year out of it. But look, I struggle with this. How do I want to, you know, because I don't want to get caught in a situation where I'm making up an elaborate lie to my kids. I want my kids to be able to trust me. But in the same breath, I want them to be able to enjoy the richness, the qualities I'm speaking of, underneath the whole Santa Claus tradition. So what do I do? And I'm telling you the truth. I don't necessarily know. I mean, part of what Lisa and I have created in Positive Parenting is it's an opportunity to explore issues such as what I'm talking about with people who have really examined it. Again, doctors and psychologists and all manner of folks who help parents make good decisions in terms of parenting. That's what the show's about. So honestly, Billy, I'm going to say, in some respects, I know the traditions that I really personally gravitate towards and I want to continue to encourage. But there's others, even though we participate, I'm still trying to figure out in real time how to do that in the best possible manner.
That makes sense. Lisa, now, does your family have traditions? And how important are traditions overall to raising a family and good parenting?
Well, I think traditions are really important. Now, I'm Jewish, so I don't really have the Santa Claus situation. Although my daughter said something, she said something about wanting to meet him the other day. So I guess she still believes, so that's kind of cute. She's six. But I think it's really important. I mean, for us, Hanukkah is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And lighting the candles, you know, every day and getting one present on Hanukkah, you know, one little thing and then a bigger present towards the end. And it's something that for me is so important when I think about growing up and what it was like and the richness that it added and also just that you can depend on it. You know what I mean? The ritual of it, the way that you know this is going to happen.
Exactly.
You see that safety and that comfort. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really beautiful. And I think a new tradition for people, again, I really wish, and I always say this to Freeman, that we could go back to like the 70s, you know, and not have all this technology and all the things buzzing and beeping all the time. And I would love to have, you know, like a no electronics on Christmas and Hanukkah and Thanksgiving, and just really just let's focus on each other and
I love
each other.
It.
Well, now why can't you do that? I mean, you're the captain of your own ship. You can do that, right, Lisa?
Yeah, well, I would like to. My husband has this job where he's pretty much on 24 hours, and I mean, we can't even get through like a movie at home without that thing going off 10 times. But anyhow, so yeah, I'm going to work on him now.
All right. We're talking to Freeman Michaels and Lisa Davis about positive parenting, and a lot of my listeners, guys, are a little bit older. They might not have young children as you do. They might have teenage children, maybe college college-age children or post-college-age children, as a matter of fact. So that presents a whole different level, a whole different challenge in positive parenting as well, particularly when you add to the fact that relatives are coming over. So now, in one household, you may have parents, children, grandparents, and even great-grandparents that are there as well. So that multi-generational dimension enters into it as well. So talk to me about positive parenting there. Do parents feel any pressure to show off their children at this time of the year, make sure they're on their best behavior, make sure that they appear to be better parents than maybe their parents were?
I think that's huge. I think that there's so much expectation. It's so charged. So much is put on this time of year and how things look. And especially in this moment in time, look, everyone's going, not everyone, but a huge number of people are going through trying times economically. They can't afford what they could last year. There's a burden, a financial burden involved in celebrating. You know, perhaps having everyone over and paying for everything might be a challenge. So I think it's an interesting moment. I want to track back, though, Billy. There's a piece of this that's in the relationship between children and extended family that I think is really important. And I'll say it personally. Some of the aunts, uncles, grandparents in my life represented very important parts of what was possible for me. In other words, I had my parents that represent a particular role. Grandparents very clearly have a different role, and it's meant to be different. They are, in fact, supposed to spoil the kids. They're supposed to be the good time, fun, you know, adult figure versus the one who is meant to be teaching rules and so forth and so on. They can do that as well, but it's really not their primary role. So here's my offer to the extended family is in a young person's life, if anyone can find a positive role, and especially when they hit the teen years, because look, they feel awkward and look, everyone feels their awkwardness, but the key, from my perspective, is for the extended family, with the adults in the extended family, not to take that on. What the teenager really needs from you is consistency. So even though they're feeling awkward, it's so important that the adults have the observer to continue to play the role they've always played, even though the teenager is going through their own challenges.
Oh, interesting. Now, don't teenagers generally push away at this time of year, particularly from their parents, because they're trying to find their own way, their own path, and the traditions?
I was just thinking that. And I was thinking that it's this hard balance of you want your teenagers to not be rude to their grandparents and their aunts and uncles and cousins and stuff, but you also, you know, you can have them eat together, but maybe afterwards let them go off for a little bit and have a little space and time and then come back versus forcing them. You must be in the room with them for 5 hours because that can get kind of stressful.
Yeah.
And so I think it's tough because I kind of think they need to take a technological break, but then at the same time, maybe if that's something just to send a quick email or something, get in their own world and then come back to join everybody versus feeling anxious and like, oh, I have these other things to do. I don't know. That's a tough one. I'm not really sure.
I'll add to it because I went through the teen years with my stepson and it was a negotiation. And the reality is we negotiated with him and we found commonality. We found ways to that he still was required on some level to participate. Because you're right, Lisa. They want nothing to do with us in a particular way. And yet, here's what I recognize. They desperately need us. It's a very strange, paradoxical moment in their lives where they are both individuating and yet very much still tapped in. And this is why I think the holidays are so important, because teenagers will go through a certain amount of the rituals that they're still willing to buy into during the holidays. And even if it's slightly obligated, I'm okay with that. I'm sorry. It's Christmas dinner. You got to be here, right? Or whatever the rules are. But I respect what you said, Lisa, which is, you know, if you can find a way to kind of do both, recognize that they're normal. They're trying to individuate. Their job is to, in a particular way, hate you. Just don't take it personally and know that, you know, they still got to show up for some length of time, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the other thing, too, like, for example, when we were kids, you know, my mom would play the piano, okay, and we would sing Hanukkah songs. And even as a teenager, I still liked it because it's something that I did when I was really little.
That's what I'm talking about.
So it's that consistency that you kind of, yeah, it's like that ritual. You sort of like it because it kind of reminds you of a different time. And then maybe you can sneak off afterwards.
And we did. That's right. That's what we did.
Yeah. All right, though, that's what kids do. Now, we're talking to Freeman Michaels and Lisa Davis, everybody. I'm going to change gears just a little bit here because I'm fascinated with the media companies that you guys are putting together. And we've only got 2 minutes left, but talk to me a little bit about the new media that you're diving into right now with internet TV, with podcasts, and so forth.
Well, let me jump in first. That both Lisa and I really recognize that the media world is changing. There's an appetite for different kinds of programming. And the beauty of the web is that it's allowing for what will be, and this is my opinion, millions of channels versus a few hundred channels, and both Lisa and I have channels. It's Your Health TV is Lisa's. Mine is the Changing Times Media Network, and of course I have specific shows. For example, Perchance to Dream is a web TV show. It's essentially a call-in web TV show, but done over Skype and captured so people can actually watch it. And so I see this as a changing world where there's an opportunity to have the kind of conversation, Billy, that we're having today in a very broad way. I have lots of people in England who are tuning in, lots of people. I have someone in France now who's...
Wow.
But it's a big world out there. And both Lisa and I feel as if we have something to say, and we've created ways to express that. Mine is called Changing Times Media, and Lisa, I'll let you talk about It's Your Health.
Yeah, I have itsyourhealthnetwork.com, and I have a television show, It's Your Health TV, and then I have It's Your Health Radio. And what's great, what I love is I love promoting writers. And I work with over 90 publicists and at all the publishing houses, and whenever a new book on health comes out, I get a call or an email, and I have hundreds of books that I get, and it's so fantastic. And that's something that I just feel really good about, is letting people know what's out there and how quick and easy they can, you know, listen to my show, listen to Freeman's shows, and pick up tips that they can, like, walk away and actually be able to make a change in their lives.
Value in their lives.
Value, exactly.
And I think that is great. Shameless plug for KKZZ. You guys appear on KKZZ regularly. Tell us about your appearances on KKZZ.
So Positive Parenting is on Thursdays, and the Wellness Show, which we had before this show on Wednesdays, is on every Wednesday. So Wellness Wednesday and Positive Parenting is on Thursdays, and we're enjoying doing it. So
I love it.
And again, it's not just on here. It's on the web as well. AWellnessSeries.com is the wellness one, and PositiveParentingSeries.com is Positive Parenting, where folks can go to get archived shows and interact with Lisa and I and see what's going on.
And they can watch us too, which is fun, because we tape them.
Yeah, we video.
Well, and I think that's part of the new media that is so exciting, because people get to see your faces. I get to know what you are. In fact, guys, in doing the research for this show, I was able to learn a lot about you just by going onto the internet and finding all of the resources that were there. So I think that it is wonderful. Lisa, anything else to add to that?
I just think you're fantastic. My goodness.
Well, thank you. That's very flattering. But actually, a host is only as good as the guest that he has on. I want to thank you both for being my guest today here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We've been talking to Freeman Michaels and Lisa Davis about their show, Positive Parenting.